Well, as Matt introduced me earlier, that's the second time today. I'm John. I'm the pastor here. It's really good to have you with us today. I just want to encourage you as you think about supporting Alawa once again, to be in prayer as well. I actually have an interview, have a meeting with Alistair Henskins in February. He's the Minister for Disability Services as well, so be praying that will be a good time to encourage him to put forward this ministry to those families. Really important. I wonder if you've noticed just how many different types of road signs there are on the road today. I've had to look in the handbook lately for various reasons. And it's incredible how many different signs there are. Many of us who have been driving for a long time look at the signs that are on the road and we think, oh, yeah, just another new sign. But actually, if you're starting from scratch, there's actually a lot of signs to get to know. But they're important, aren't they? They're all important. They warn us of what's up ahead. They indicate what is a safe speed. I feel sometimes that it's a little too safe. Especially when you hit road work on a highway and you're doing 40. But, you know, they tell us that there's sharp corners and there's all sorts of things up ahead. But they're not the only types of signs, are they? We have signs on billboards, you know, companies that want to tell us important information that we need to know about their company. Or teachers actually have signs that they use to get their students' attention. I've seen teachers clap their hands. Maybe you've seen them. They go, and all the kids go, that's right, get your attention. I've seen them do this, and everyone goes quiet. And now they're all signs to get a student's attention. When we hear thunder or see a flash of lightning, we know that a storm's coming. And we even have an expression for when something out of the ordinary happens, don't we? We say to one another, oh, it's a sign. Now, what we're going to see today is that the birth of Jesus is something new, something great, and it's something amazing. You see, this is no ordinary birth, and that's why we're here today, isn't it? That's why we're here at Christmas, to remember the birth of Jesus. And remembering that he brought us something new. Now, at this point, it would be really good for you to have a Bible open. Turn to Luke chapter 2, and it is on page 1027, as Corinne told us earlier. And here you'll see the famous story of when Jesus was born, and there are three scenes to this story. You can see them in the handout that you would have received today on the inside. There's three scenes written in there for you to follow along with. And in this first scene, we see that Caesar Augustus has ordered everyone to go back to their hometown to register. And because of this, Mary and Joseph have returned to Bethlehem. Mary's far along in her pregnancy. And while they're in Bethlehem, it's time for the baby to be born. But of course, we know that this is no ordinary baby. Now, with your Bibles open, I'm going to get you to turn back just one page. It might be on the same area. It's verses 26 to 38 of chapter 1. And we'll just have a look at a rundown about what Mary was told when she was told she would give birth to a child. We see that an angel appears to her and tells her not to be afraid. And then we're given all the details about who, what, and where. And then in verse 31 and 30 to 33, the angel spoke to Mary. And look at what the angel said. Said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, we see a few things here, don't we? Mary was told to call him Jesus. Then she was told the child would be the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. This is what it means when the angel said Jesus will be the Son of the Most High, or that he'll be given the throne of his father David. And what all this adds up to is that Mary's baby is going to be a very special king. He'll get David's throne, he'll reign over Jacob's descendants, and finally, the last part there, his kingdom will never end. Now, many of the kings in the Old Testament that you may or may not know about, like David and Solomon and others, all finished. They all ended when they died. But the reign of this child, it says, will never end. That's what these few verses tell us. Now, as we go back to chapter 2, to Luke 2, it's now 9 months later. Mary and Joseph have travelled to Bethlehem, and while they're there, the baby comes. It's almost a passing thought, isn't it? Oh, and the baby came. I'm sure that's not what happened. It's not, from my experience, that's not what happens. Verse 7, look at verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, this was a rugged place to give birth. The city's full. Everyone's there to get counted. No one's got a bed for them. So there they are in a stable. Mary wraps the baby in cloths and places him in a manger. I mean, there's nothing really good about this situation. So many of the images that we see show Jesus' birth as a glorious picture. We see halos, we see bright lights. But really, when it comes to it, this baby wasn't placed in Sheridan sheets and placed on a mattress. No, that's what we'd expect a king to be placed on. But no, this king is wrapped in cloths and placed in a feeding trough. It's rugged. But what's important, however, is that he was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger. Because this is going to be key to the rest of our story. You see, this unusual birthplace is the sign that we need to see. See, scene one puts Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, the birthplace of the expected Messiah, the Messiah that the Old Testament speaks about. And it has Mary and Joseph with their newborn son, Jesus, wrapped and lying in a feeding trough. And scene one comes to an end. And if you look at your Bibles, the next scene has us out in the fields. There are shepherds watching their flocks, and you can see this second scene from verses 8 to verse 14. It's nighttime. There's nothing but these shepherds and their flocks, and an angel appears to them. Not just a walk up, oh, hi there, here I am, but no, boom, an angel who appeared and shone the glory of the Lord around them. Wouldn't have been a small torch or a little small flame, but something that drove fear into these men who normally protect their animals from lions. These are brave boys, but this event makes them scared. See, it's unusual. It's out of the ordinary. It was the same for Mary, wasn't it, back in chapter 1? When the angel spoke to her, she was driven to fear because something was different. It was a shock. And the same thing happened for our brave shepherds. Now, I often wonder what it would have been like for these guys. We're used to bright lights that flash on and off. If you come around here at night in Wurunga and you see the four-wheel drives, they somehow like to see all their big LED lights lighting up the whole street because you can see with all the trees overhead how bright your lights really are. We're used to that. But imagine if you'd seen a light globe or a light bulb glow for the very first time. You would have been surprised. You would have wondered how it worked. I mean, these guys haven't even heard of electricity. They would have had a fire or an oil lamp, which would have produced around 12 lumens. I hope you understand what lumens are. See, that's nothing. See, this projector has about 2,500 lumens. Candles, nothing, and these shepherds weren't used to these bright lights. And so when this light appears in the middle of the night and shines the glory of the Lord, well, they're surprised. And we can understand that, can't we? This is brighter than anything they'd ever seen before. It shone so bright that it puts fear into them. Now, I'm sure that for these shepherds, this was a sign that something supernatural was going on. This was no ordinary event. And then the angel said to the shepherd in verse 10, "Fear not. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. The angel hasn't come to hurt or harm you. Rather, the angel has important news to tell these shepherds. Look at this important news with me in verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." See, the angel brought good news for all the people. No one is excluded from hearing this good news. This event is for everyone without exception. And the news they needed to know is that a Saviour had been born in the city of David, and his name is Jesus. See, Jesus will be the Saviour because he will make it possible for all people to know and love the God that created them. And the angel tells the shepherds how they'll know which baby it is. Look at verse 12. It says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." See, the sign of who the Messiah will be is that the baby will be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The moment of fear has been turned into a great moment of joy. See, the shepherds have been given the privilege of hearing firsthand from an angel that the rescuer for all humanity, the Messiah, the Christ, has been born. Now, this was the hope for all Jewish people, that the Messiah would come. And the shepherds have been told this great news. They would have expected that this was to happen, but I think they would have been surprised that it would have been told to them by the angels. And this is my favourite part, because in verse 13, we see one angel joined by a company of heavenly host. This is literally a plethora of heavenly host. There's lots of them, and they're all praising God. Look in verse 14 what it says. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And then just like that, as the angels appeared before them, they also seemed to leave just as quick. Now, what would you do in their position? How would you respond to hearing great news like this? I look at the shepherds and their response and I'm amazed. I look at verse 15. He said they've understood something significant has happened. And because of all the angels, they know that this is a heavenly event. Wouldn't you want to know if it was true? Wouldn't you want to go and find out if what you've been told is true? As I mentioned, people were waiting for this event to take place. These guys have been told by an angel that the Messiah has come. I mean, surely you'd want to go and find out, is this really true? And sure enough, in verse 15, we see that they hurry off and try and find the baby that they've been told about. And that brings us to an end of scene 2. And as we move into scene 3, the shepherds are in Bethlehem and they enter the stable. They've found Mary and Joseph, and they've found the baby lying in a manger. They've found Jesus. And all that they'd been told about Jesus was true. And there he was, lying in a manger, just as they'd been told. And then just like that, they've got good news to tell. Look at verse 17. You can see it there. They've got no way of keeping it in. They have to speak. They have to go around telling everyone what had happened. I imagine that they would have been told about the angel and that they would have told about the angel and what they'd been told by the angel. They would have told about the appearance of a whole bunch of angels praising God. And then they tell of how they came to Bethlehem and found Jesus just as the angels had told them that they'd find him. All of it was true. And they couldn't help but spread the word about this little child. Mary seems to have listened and treasures the whole event. But there's no holding the shepherds back. Look at them. Off they go in verse 20. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The baby was wrapped and lying in a manger. All the signs told them what to expect. And as they found Mary, Joseph and Jesus, they saw that the signs were true and they all pointed to Jesus. Everything was just as they'd been told. And they left praising and glorifying God. And that brings to an end scene 3. Now, there are many signs that we come across in life. Signs for the road, we saw earlier, signs that the weather's about to change. But there's one sign that I want you to notice today. That Jesus, the baby born, wrapped and lying in a manger, is our Saviour, Messiah, and Lord. Three simple words that the angel told the shepherds in verse 11, and you can see them in your Bible there. But three words full of meaning and significance for us today. Three words that are a sign to show us who Jesus really is, our Saviour. Jesus would die on a cross to save the world from their sins. Now, this has been the problem from the very beginning, hasn't it? See, God wanted to live with us forever. But people rejected God. We did our own thing. And we call this sin, and it puts a distance between us and God. This meant that we can't be with God because we're full of sin, full of rebellion. There's no way for us to be with God. But this is where things get interesting, and it's good for us to make this very clear. You see, God realized that because of our sin, we deserve to be separated with God forever. This is what we deserve, but because we reject him. But the whole reason for God to send his son Jesus was because he wanted to bring us back into relationship with himself. Jesus came to be our Savior because he fixes our sin problem. He saves us from our sin. He takes God's anger away from us and he turns it upon himself. And that's why the angels call him Savior. But they also call him Messiah. And he's Messiah because he was the promised one from the Old Testament. And I've said this a number of times. See, the Old Testament people like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and others were all told to expect that the Messiah would come. And the Messiah in our story today has come, and it is Jesus. The Old Testament's full of signs and promises that someone would come and fix things up, to restore things to how they should be. The signs that we have in the Old Testament all point forward to Jesus. It's Jesus who restores all people back to God. And in many ways, the word Messiah and the word Saviour are saying similar things. They help us see that God has made a plan to rescue people and save them from their sin. Messiah tells us that someone will do it, and that someone is Jesus. And the word Saviour tells us that he will fix things up, that Jesus will restore all people to God through his death on the cross. And this brings us to the last word for today, Lord. We don't tend to use Lord very often in our society today, but the angel said that Jesus was Lord. And it really means that he is the boss of everything. We know from other parts of the Bible that Jesus doesn't come into existence through this event. The birth of Jesus, or Christmas, is when we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus, which means when Jesus became man. Jesus is often called the God the Son. Jesus has always been with the Father, and we know he was there when God created the world. And right now, Jesus looks upon all of creation, and it's through his power that he is able to hold it all together. Now, the Bible is very clear about all of these things, and it gives us a picture of a very strong and powerful Jesus. That's the reason the angels called him Lord, because he's in charge. He's the boss. He's in control. And all of this adds up to good news, doesn't it? This is what the angel said in verse 10. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. This isn't news that makes you regretful or fearful or angry, but it's good news that brings great joy. And understanding the news that Jesus is Saviour, Messiah and Lord should bring all of us great joy. I'm not sure when you get to open presents. We got to open our presents last night because we've got a very busy day today. And we'll open more presents this afternoon. And opening presents brings great joy, doesn't it? Especially when you haven't wrapped them yourself. But the good news of Jesus, that he is Saviour, Messiah and Lord, is the best present ever. It's the news that we have hope, that we will be safe for an eternity because Jesus has come and opened the way for us to be in a relationship with the God who made us. Friends, this is good news and it should bring you great joy. Look at the signs and see and understand who Jesus is and see that he is your Saviour, Messiah and Lord. So as you celebrate today with your family, as you run around and eat too much, remember that the good news that brings great joy is that today we celebrate the birth of our Saviour Jesus, or who is Saviour, Messiah and Lord. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for the good news that causes great joy. Help us to see the signs and understand who Jesus is. And we ask that you help us to call him Saviour, Messiah, and Lord. Amen.